You're listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
We are in the book of 1 Timothy, just journeying through this entire letter written by Paul to young Pastor Timothy. Timothy was sent to the church at Ephesus, which that church had gotten off track. They were not teaching true biblical gospel doctrine. They were not living out their faith. And so Timothy comes in and says, guys, we have got to get back to being a gospel-centered church. And so Paul encourages Timothy. And so we have been in this chapter 3 for a while, and we have been looking at the qualifications of church leadership, and we've actually been in this section, this qualifications for deacons, for I guess about 5 weeks now. And really, I think I've stayed in this passage way longer than I thought I would when I looked at this and began preparing for that. But when I got into this section and began unpacking it, God began showing me some pretty incredible truth. And I've been a follower of Christ since I was 8 years old. And like many of you, for many of my years of growing and maturing and reading the Bible, and you know, my youth minister, my pastor, people says you need to read the Bible. And so for many of my years, probably a lot like you, I skimmed over this section. It's like qualifications for deacons. That's for somebody else. But having unpacked what this word means and beginning to understand what this whole idea of a deacon is, we see that this really is about Christ calling all of us to maturity. I hope that you guys have been able to understand that. I hope that you've been able to at least stop separating yourself from this passage, because this idea of deacon is really about maturity. It's really about leadership within the church. It's really about the body of Christ, people within the church rising up, growing in their faith, and being recognized as someone that is growing in their faith. Not someone that's perfect, but someone that is growing in their faith, that is a servant in the church. And so I want us to hear God's heart. I want us to hear His heart, His call to all of us. I hope that you've been able to see, even through this passage and through this book, how much Christ loves the church. I hope that you have seen how much Paul loves the church, that he loved the church, and he saw that Christ died for the church, gave himself up for the church, that the church is so important, and so he is determined to send Timothy back and encourage and bring this church at Ephesus back to being a gospel-centered church. And I hope that through this passage, as we've talked about what deacons are, what eldership is, I hope that you have heard from me, too, that I love the church also. I love the church. I'm 42 years old, and I've been a part of the church for 42 years. I was born in Austin, Texas. I moved here 3 weeks later, and then I don't remember much about the nursery, but I was there. And I went to First Baptist Church in Tacoma Park, and I grew up in that church, and then I have been in the church all my life. Now, 23 of those years, more than half my life, I've been actually serving on staff in a church, whether it was from my early days as a youth intern to a hospital chaplain intern to many years in youth ministry to music ministry, and then the last 9 years as a pastor. And yes, through all that, I still love the church. I still do. I've been a part of some great, healthy churches, and I've been a part of some really hard churches. And the reason I can say that I still love the church is because through these years of being a part of the church and serving the church for over half my life, I realize that churches are messy. Churches are messy because they are made up of messy people. We have churches with messy leaders. We have churches with messy members because we're sinful, we're broken, but thank the Lord for Jesus Christ. We just sang about how Christ cleans us up. So again, I hope that you hear my heart, that I know that there are church leaders and pastors and elders and deacons that are human, that are sinful people, but I've also known so many in leadership positions that are godly people. I've been around some leadership and some people with the title deacon that were prideful and political, not servant-like, and in my experience, especially as a staff member, that were just downright mean. But then I've been around some godly people in the church. And I know that probably some of you, maybe you've had a grandfather or a father that was a pastor or a deacon or an elder or in leadership. And maybe it's, whether your grandmother was just a prayer warrior within the church and our Sunday school teachers, and you've known so many godly leaders and servants. Understand that we are looking at Scripture to see what does God say about these people, about these positions, this leadership. And I hope that you have seen that it is about servanthood. It's about maturity. It's about growth. This last week, my wife and I, we had the opportunity to go on a short pastor wives retreat. And it was through this ministry that invited us, and they paid our way to go. And we went to Branson for a couple of nights, and we were with 35 other couples, pastors, and it's the first time that we've been able to do that in 9 years. So I think it was about time that we did that. And we went, and one of the reasons we went because we needed it. We were tired, and we're human, and we're messy people, and we need to be filled up. And it was great to be able to sit and listen to someone preach and just to kind of be ministered to. And while I was there, God spoke to me in so many ways. But God reminded me, as these pastors were teaching us, and as I was with other couples, God reminded me that godly leadership in the church, not just people with titles, but godly people who are growing in their faith, godly servants, that there are two qualities that true godly leaders have, and that is humility and the fact that they repent, that they're repenters. I mean, and there's lots of other qualities, but those are things that came up in this weekend, that godly leadership in the church. They're humble, but they're also people that repent. Godly people don't ever feel like they have arrived. They're not prideful. They don't ever finally get to the point. True godly leadership don't get to the point where they say, well, look at me. I finally arrived and you need to follow me. No, they continue to grow. In fact, probably the people in your life that have made a difference in your life, when you look back at them, especially those that were in the church or someone that mentored you or someone that you looked up to, probably those people were very humble. Would you agree with that? Probably those people were those that were saying, you know what, Chris, I don't have it all figured out, but I just keep following Jesus, and my desire is to obey and to follow him and to seek after holiness. But every time I get closer and more mature to Christ, I am reminded, and God reveals something more gross in me, and I must fall on my face and continue to repent. Godly leaders are people that take to heart the need to grow in their faith. They are people that desire to obey. And if they are convicted, they are brokenhearted about their sin, and they repent, and then they get up, and they continue to follow Christ. And this is the type of leader that God inspired Paul to encourage Timothy to find in the church. He said, go, here's a list of some qualities, here's a list of some people, some qualifications that is really just fruit of mature leaders. Please put those into positions to guide the people, not to lord over them, but to serve them, to mentor them, to disciple them, to show others that are younger in their faith what it means to live for Jesus Christ. This is a servant leader. This takes humility. It takes a desire to grow, a desire to seek after holiness. And this is what God is calling all of us to. All of us. Children, teenagers, adults, older adults. We never stop following Christ. Whether you're a brand new Christian as a child, or you're in your 80s or your 90s, we still follow Jesus. We still abide in him. God still shows us areas that need to be cleaned up and to be repented of. God is calling all of us to be servants. That is why, let's remember what I said this several weeks ago. Remember that when Jesus was teaching his followers, he used this word deacon as he taught them. Mark 10:43-45. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. He's saying, guys, look, if you want to be great, you need to be the least of these. You need to be the one that's serving. You need to be the one that's humble to serve. This servant word is really just a form of the word deacon. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Again, I hope you hear God's word, that you hear his heart, his love for the church. I hope as your pastor that you hear my heart, that we need to be a church striving to be gospel-centered. We need to be a church and understand. We need to understand that we are a church filled with messy people, but we recognize that it is only Christ who can clean us up. It is only Christ that can completely wash us clean, that when God looks at us, he sees us as holy and righteous, but he sees Christ in us. I hope that we would understand the love of Christ for the church, the love that Paul had for the church, that we'd understand the desire and the need for East Point Church, which is a body of Christ, which is the body of Christ, a local body of Christ, that we would understand that we need to have godly leaders, men and women who are growing in their faith, humble servants, repenters, those who are abiding in Christ, those who model growth and a desire to follow Christ and to live out the gospel. And I hope that you have seen in this passage that probably most of us have skimmed over many points in our lives, but I hope that you see that there is a need for us to grow. We need to stop sitting and saying, someone else will take care of that. We need to begin living out our faith. And so as we close out this section today, this section on deacons, we see this shining, this bright truth that when we seek maturity in Christ, when we seek to obey, when we stop being little babies and little infants and we begin to grow and to model and to disciple the gospel to others, when we do this, we are promised an incredible Christ-given confidence in our faith. Let's look at verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. So we've gone through all of these qualifications of deacons, and so here we finish this up, and Paul encourages those in those positions in leadership and in maturity that we're all called to. He says this, "For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." Now, just as a little side note here, maybe you're saying, I think Chris just skipped verse 12, if you've been following us over the last few weeks. And kind of, yes and no, I did. Verse 12 and verse 12 is really just two more qualifications that are almost identical to those up in verse 2 for elders, being the husband of one wife and managing their households well. And we discussed that meaning in detail in verse 2. And in chapter 3. So if you missed that, you can always go back and listen to it on the podcast. But I wanted to focus in as we close this out, verse 13. For those who serve well as deacons, for those who serve well in the church as leaders in the church, we also have a great confidence in the faith. So what Paul says here is that we are given two rewards for serving well. So when we serve well, when we recognize that, you know what, we're all called to grow in our faith. When we recognize that there is a need for mature believers to be humble and to serve the body of Christ, when we do that, we are given two rewards. The first reward is this, that we gain a good standing. See that in verse 13, that those who serve well gain a good standing for themselves. And so the idea of this phrase refers to an elevated stance, like being put on a pedestal. And we might say, wait a second. We're called to be servants, but the reward is being put up on a pedestal. Don't confuse that. I know that doesn't sound like a sermon. This is not sinful pride. And this is not what deacons or mature leaders seek after, but this is what they're worthy of if they serve well. This is really has nothing to do with men. It has everything to do with our relationship with God. Those who serve in humility will be exalted by God. James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. When we serve well, when we humble ourselves, when we are humble servants, repenters, those that obey God, that desire to be holy, those that understand, and when we are convicted of our sin, we are brokenhearted about that sin, and we seek repentance, those of us that desire to not be little babies in Christ, but to be leaders within our church, not prideful, political, powerful leaders, but servant leaders in the church to minister to the body of Christ, to model what it means to be growing in faith, God promises that those who do that well will be exalted by God. Not on a platform here in the church, but in God's eyes. Faithful leaders will be respected by those they serve. Not only will humble servant leaders be exalted by God, but those who serve well will be respected. And that's one of the qualifications of a godly leader in the church, is that they will be someone that is trusted. That when someone goes through a storm in life and they're sitting at their house or they're at the hospital or they're with someone in their family that is struggling, they think of you because they respect you. Not because of a special jacket that you wear at church, not because of a special parking space at church, not because you have a title or that there's a banner for you by the road that says, here's where Mr. Such and Such or Miss Such and Such serves. No, it's because they've seen you serve, they've seen you grow, they've seen you talk, they've seen you being transparent about your walk with Christ, and when they're in that struggle with life, they think of you. They respect you. This is not sinful pride. And this is not even talking about in heaven, the special mansion for the good leader or the blue ribbon in heaven. This goes deeper. This is about humility. This is about being an empty vessel that God uses to further the gospel. Those who serve well will gain a good standing for themselves. It's so easy to take things out of context, isn't it? We could pluck that out and say, if you serve well, then you should be respected and have all this stuff on earth. No. No. This is about humility. This is about servant leadership. The second promise, the second reward that we see in verse 13 is this, that we will receive great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I want you to hear this. I want you to understand this because this is so important to our walk with Christ. See, when we live for Christ, when we grow in Christ, when we obey, when we are repenters of our sin, when we are seeking after holiness, and when we serve well, we receive this great reward, and it is called confidence. It is confidence in our faith. Not piety, is not sinful pride, but a confidence in who we are in Christ. When I think of pride, sinful pride, my mind always goes back to the Pharisees. When you read through the Pharisees, can you imagine if the Pharisees had had Facebook or smartphones or Twitter accounts?
They do.
Yeah. Can you imagine how many selfies they would take as they drop their money in the offering bucket and tweeting out their pious prayers? Putting their location, checked in on the street corner, doing some praying. Check me out. Can you imagine the judgmental rants they would have had on Facebook about how great they are and how the rules that they follow? This is not this type of confidence. When we serve well, when we are humble before the Lord, when we are broken before the Lord, when we are on our face before the cross, understanding that it's only Jesus Christ who saved us, and that when we sin, that we are broken about that, and then when we serve the church, when we are concerned about others, and when we are serving each other, when we are desiring not to be noticed, but to minister and to live out our faith in the gospel, we receive a confidence. Not sinful pride or religious arrogance, but is a confidence in who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us on the cross. Confidence in Christ is always accompanied by humility and repentance. And really this word is really cool in the Greek, because this word confidence refers to a boldness in Christ. It is an assurance in our salvation. It is a confidence in drawing close to God in Christ. And what it means also is that those who feel and experience this confidence, it brings the idea of being willing and able to undertake activities with risk or danger. I love that picture. The confidence that this is talking about, when this reward that we get, the more we mature and grow in Christ, the more we serve Christ, the more we keep our eyes on Christ, we then gain this confidence that allows us to undertake activities for Jesus, for the gospel, with risk or danger. It also brings the idea of being able to stand up and tell the truth with our speech. Isn't that cool? The more you serve, the more confidence you have in Jesus Christ working through you. It brings with it the incredible faith that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. This confidence in our faith is given to us by Jesus as we continue to grow and mature. As many of you know, Garrett and I went to Nepal a few weeks ago, and I got to witness God working in the other side of the world. I got to witness God working in a totally different language. I got to see someone come to know Jesus, just hearing the gospel, just with no freebies or handouts, just coming to faith in Jesus Christ through the gospel. I got to see it happen. I got to spend nights in a monsoon in my tent as I was studying God's word and see him speak to my heart. Those experiences gave me confidence in Christ, because I experience God work, and I remember those, I think about those. I saw God work, and so now as I continue on this journey to know who Jesus is more, to live out my faith, to serve him, I can look back on those because I have grown, and God has given me more confidence in who he is. Maybe you can remember things that God did in your past. Don't forget those. Write those down. Write those spiritual mile markers down, because those things that you saw God do, you'll be reminded of those when you face something difficult. John MacArthur says, "Those who serve God well and see his power and grace operative in their lives will be emboldened for even greater service." It's time to grow. It's time to abide. It's time to repent. It's time to seek. It's time to serve. And if you're a little baby in Christ, if you're an adult and you feel like you haven't grown for years and years and years, it's time to open your Bible and to start getting deep in with God. And maybe you're saying, well, how do I do that? You just start reading. Start reading. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Get involved in Bible study. Get involved in church. Allow each of us to sharpen each other and to grow together. It's time to stop being an infant. And as you serve him and grow in him, you will gain confidence in who Christ is. You see, as we abide in Christ, as we walk in obedience, God reveals himself to us. He proves his love and power to us. As we repent, we experience his grace and his mercy. As we serve, we experience his wisdom and strength. All of these things give us confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus is better. We sing a song, Jesus is better than anything. We put our confidence in so many empty things in this world, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whether it's friends, whether it's status, whether it's likes on Facebook, whether it's our social acquaintances, whatever it is, we put our faith in that. We need to experience confidence in Jesus Christ because that is our hope. Went to visit Earl's mom in the hospital this last week, and it was one of those double rooms with the little partition in the middle, and Earl's mom, Glenda, was over on the window side. So I was visiting with them and talking with her and getting ready to leave, so I spent some time praying for her and Dr. Doner. And as I was leaving, I walked out of her little area and walked past the lady that was in the bed next to her, and that lady stopped me, and she said, "Do you have a second?" I said, "Sure." So I walked over by her bed, and her older daughter, her younger daughter, and her husband came in. She said, I was listening to your prayer." And she said, "Where do you go to church?" And I told her where I went to church. We talked for a few minutes about her situation, about her family, and all I knew to tell her, all I knew to keep saying to her was that Jesus is better than anything that she's going through. Jesus is more sufficient than anything she's going through. I didn't know her. She lives in Elk City. But I just knew, and her family was sitting there and they were listening. I said, the best thing you can do is seek after Christ. The best thing you can do is teach these girls who Jesus is. The best thing you can do is get involved in a church and be a part of a community of believers. The best thing you can do, the best thing is Jesus. We wonder sometimes how missionaries can go where they go. We read stories and we go, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you have the confidence to just get on a plane and go live somewhere, whether it's through in a hostile environment or with a hostile tribe or just being away from your family. We wonder sometimes how people can share the gospel with a stranger, and we look at them and go, I don't know how you do that. How do you just strike up conversations with strangers? How do you do that? We look at people and we say, how do you spend so much time in prayer? I can't even find time to eat in my day. How do you find time to pray? We look at people that seem like they're growing in their faith, and we say, how do you do this? It has nothing to do with arrogance or pride or politics or power or status or position or money. It has everything to do with the relationship with Jesus Christ. It has everything to do with a desire to grow in Him. It has everything to do to have a repentant heart. It has everything to do with a desire for obedience, a desire for holiness, a desire to serve. And when we do that, we gain confidence in who Jesus is. And He gives us incredible confidence in our faith as we continue to grow. As we close this section out, this has everything to do with Jesus. This is not some side class where the deacons go and meet and they go through this. This has everything to do with Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him. Do you know Jesus this morning? Do you know Him? Not religion. Please, please take that religious stuff and throw it over there and look at your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because a relationship with Christ, salvation in Christ, the hope of eternity has nothing, nothing, nothing to do with church attendance, how many times you've been, how religious you talk, how many times you didn't cuss, how many times you helped somebody across the road or helped someone do something nice. It has nothing to do with all that religious stuff. It has everything to do with salvation in Jesus Christ alone, repenting of our sins, confessing that Christ is Lord, knowing and believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross, He rose from the grave, and that there is no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. It's a relationship with Him. And if you know Jesus, there will be evidence of fruit in your life. And so I pray that the truth of God's word, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, will break through our stony hearts. Do you know Christ this morning? Christian, believer, are you growing in your faith? You know if you do. You know if you are. You know the truth, and you can hide behind it. You can look good at church. You can put on your happy Christian face, but you know the truth. You know what happens when you walk out of this building. You know if it's true or not that the next time that you're going to open your Bible will be maybe next Sunday. You know the truth of your prayer life. You know the truth of what you're watching, what you're seeing, what you're talking about. You know the truth that when you're around one group over here at work or school, that you talk just like them because you just want to be accepted. Or that when you're with this group, that you put on this mask. You know the truth. Are you growing in your faith? When you serve well, you receive confidence in who Jesus is. Are you experiencing this confidence in Christ? Let's pray together this morning.